The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Well, good morning, church. It's great to be together this morning. Thank you for making the decision to be here. I hope that you had a fantastic Christmas. We've had a fantastic Christmas, a number of people in the building. That's great. And that you're enjoying this relaxed time of the year. It's my privilege today to start our new series simply entitled Be. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at what it means to simply be. A journey where we'll take a look at five be words, and today we're going to look at the word begin. Next week, we're going to look at the word behold. Then we're going to look at beloved, belong, and befriend. And it's our hope that as we look at these words, it'll encourage you to be all that God has created you to be in 2013. And today we begin the series with the word begin. And I don't know about you, but that's an appropriate word this time of the year as we look at beginning a brand new year. And look at beginning another new year. Wonder whether you join with me as we pray. Lord, it is great to be together. And as we open your word this morning, please use this simple message to speak to each of us. Bring us fresh revelation and insight that will encourage us and inspire us to follow you more with more determination in 2013. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know about you, but it's hard to believe that we've just lived another whole year. 364 days, almost 2012, almost gone. I love this time of the year because it's a great opportunity for us to reflect on the year that has been. And the other really cool thing about this time of the year is that it's a great opportunity for us to look forward and to look into the new year. Because a new year is a fresh start, and it's an opportunity to begin once again. Now, I came across this video during the week, and I thought, we've got the big kids, or our big children, in with us this morning. It's great to have you with us, big kids. I thought that you would love this video, and I'm hoping that you'll love it, because I love it anyway. So let's have a look at this video as we introduce our message today.
Hello, my name is Jeff Neal, and that's how I've spent most of my life, doing Neal, nada, zilch, zippo, but that's about to change. Last year I made a resolution that I would make myself the ultimate machine.
You and your little friend want some sandwiches?
I'm 42, Mom! Leave me alone!
Jeffrey, it's chilly out there!
I'm wearing my karate gi! I have on my gi. As I was saying, I made a resolution that I would make myself the ultimate machine in body, mind, and soul. And to prove that I've accomplished my resolution, I'm going to karate chop these bricks.
Okay. I love a new start. Nope, that's a lie. I hate even starting my car. But you know what? I believe in change. Oh, that's another lie. Changing my underwear scares the heebie-jeebies out of me. Bottom line on change? Change is for the ashtray. Not for me.
I love redos. I mean, my life is pretty much one big mulligan, you know? And I like lists, but I'm not really good at them. Or at least I wasn't, but now there's an app for that. Yeah, it's so great. You can put in your resolutions. It has reminders. It breaks it down into categories like physical, spiritual, emotional, which I won't need. But let's just get to it.
Is there a problem?
No, you have to enter a lot of information. I should have read the review on it. But, you know what? Never mind. Let's get started on the new me.
Oh, really? Because that sounds like Angry Birds.
Shh. Hey, Phineas and Ferb, you're probably asking yourself, what are we going to do today? Well, I can tell you what you're going to do today. You're going to live your best life yet. Hello, my name is Dan D. Lewis, part-time barista, part-time PE coach at Tisdale Community College, and full-time life coach. You know what I find disheartening? I find it disheartening when people, they give up on themselves. Why do they do that, you ask? Well, I can tell you. I call them the three Ps. They don't persevere. They procrastinate, and they forget their purpose, which means they miss the field goal. Listen up, Cupcake. Did a young Kirk Cameron give up on himself during all those growing pains? I think not. Today, that man is fireproof. No one left him behind.
What are you doing? No, hey. No, this is mine. I'm going to do this. Yes, I am. Yes, this is my
hey, guys,
resolution.
Guys, hey, we're running out of time.
What? Oh, gosh. Oh, we're out of time. Oh, look at there. Look what you did, resolution ruiner. Maybe next year. Maybe next year.
Mom made me a sandwich! No!
Did you like that, kids? It's good, isn't it? I wonder whether you can relate to one of those characters. You know, the really scary thing for me is that I probably relate to all of them in some way when it comes to resolutions. Now, the Barna Group. A Barna Group is a research company in the US, a well-known Christian research company, and they did a study on New Year's resolutions. And I'm wondering, I want to ask you this question. Do you know what the most popular New Year's resolution is? Anybody have an idea? To lose weight. There's some smart people in the building. That's fantastic. Yeah, and you're exactly right. That's number one resolution, is to lose weight. And here's some of their findings. The most often mentioned resolution relates to weight, health, and diet, followed by resolutions relating to money and to debt. Personal improvement, including being a better person, being more generous, having more leisure, time, dealing with an addiction, career stuff, spirituality or church, and education. They're the most mentioned resolutions. It's interesting, back in 2011, I resolved as a resolution that I would not eat any junk food for the entire year, junk food like McDonald's. And it was probably the first time that I was semi-successful at a resolution for the whole year. And I say semi-successful because during 2011, I had the privilege of being able to go to the US. And my American friends kind of made me, you know, they said to me, you've got to have Taco Bell and you've got to have Wendy's. And anyway, I did. And the crazy thing was is that I felt really ill after eating them. You know, they're pretty ordinary, aren't they, in terms of fast food. But the whole year for me, 2011, was pretty much without fast food. And I was pretty happy with myself. Usually I begin well with a resolution, and then by February I start to lose interest. How well did you go with your New Year's or your year's resolutions this year? Maybe you didn't set any. Maybe like me, this year you had a year off because I had a big 2011. Maybe you did, but you set some and you just can't remember what they were. You know, they're a distant memory now. Maybe you remember them, but you didn't get to February. You lost interest, or maybe you can very proudly say today that you have achieved your resolution with 1.5 days to go. So why don't you right now turn to the person next to you and tell them how you went with this year's resolutions. I would absolutely love to know what you guys are saying to each other. You know, I hope there's some people out there that are like me, started well but then sort of maybe petered out a bit. I wonder if there's anyone here today with a day and a half to go that's been solid. You know, it's interesting that the study that I referred to earlier revealed that only 9 out of more than 1,000 survey respondents mentioned that one of their objectives for next year was getting closer to God in some way. Even in the rare instance when people mentioned spiritual goals, it was often about activity undertaken for God rather than a personal pursuit of God or an experience with God. As we think about the beginning of a new year, I wonder whether God enters into your thinking and your priorities. This past week, I prepared this message, and as I was preparing this message, I asked God for a passage of scripture that will help us begin the new year well. But it won't only just be a good beginning, but it will be a passage that we could take into our year, a passage that we could bind around our necks, a passage that we could write on the tablets of our heart, a passage that would help us to be the men and the women that God has called us to be in this church and in this community in 2013. So can I encourage you as we begin a new year with these three resolutions? And instead of using the word resolution this morning, I want to use the word determination. Determinations. Three determinations that are from Proverbs 3, verses 1 through to 6. And let's look at a couple of verses at a time. Love you to grab your Bible if you've got your Bible, or grab your smartphone if you have your Bible on your smartphone. And if you haven't got that, then we've got it on the screen as well. So let's begin with Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. The number one determination for 2013, the number one encouragement is this: be in God's word. Be in God's word. The first exhortation is simple: follow the Father's teaching. Do not forget it, but keep it in your heart. Engage in the discipline of learning. The encouragement here is simple. It's learn God's word, learn the word of God, and do it. And then there's a promise. The promise is if we remember the words and keep them in our hearts, they'll bring us a long and peaceful life. Now, a question here is, does that mean that we're going to, if we do this, we're all going to get this perfect life? I don't think so. I think the answer to that question is no. But it will be a lot more peaceful than choosing a life that goes against the Word of God. So how do we not forget and keep His words in our heart? Well, can I suggest a couple of things this morning? The first one is, grab out a pen and a paper. The first one's not rocket science. We need to read God's word. It's pretty simple, hey. How can something be so simple and yet so hard to do? We've got to read God's word. We need to establish a routine this year that works best for you. Maybe the best time for you to read God's word is in the morning. Maybe it's in the evening, or maybe it's somewhere in between. You know, recently something that's been working for me is on the way to work, I'll grab a coffee at one of the local coffee shops and I'll just sit there with that coffee and I'll read God's word. And that's been working for me during this season. I wonder what will work for you. I wonder what's been working for you. The other encouragement is to just use one of the many tools that are available to you. You would be very well aware of our LifeStreams journal, a journal that many of you are using and a journal that many of you have used over the years. I encourage you, this again is not the be-all and the end-all, it's just a tool, a simple tool that will help you to be in God's Word. And we would love to be able to give you one of them today. If you're not a hard copy type person, you're more a digital type person, our journals are actually online. And you can get into our journal through our website, and it's just a simple click and then you're there, and then you can click on Bible Gateway and it'll take you to today's Bible passage, which is fantastic. So you can get it hard and you can get it soft. I'm wondering whether there's still people here who use the daily bread. You know, that's a fantastic tool that encourages you to be in God's Word. And again, you can get the hard copy of that, but you can also go to their website, which is just simply odb.org. odb.org. And you can get there every single day a simple tool or simple resource that will help you to be in God's Word. And there are many other simple devotionals that are around that I'm sure that you are aware of. The other thing that we wanted to make you aware of as we move into 2013 is there is an app called the YouVersion Bible app. And I know many of young people are already using this app. It's an app that you can download on your smartphone. I think you can get an Android or an Apple app. But there in that app is the Bible, and obviously that's a great thing, but also there are reading plans in there. And I know that for some people, this reading plan in our Lifestreams journal is really tough. You know, 3 or 4 chapters a day is pretty tough going. But in the YouVersion app, there are a number of different reading plans that all at different levels that you can jump into. I mean, again, the main thing is that you're reading God's Word. Use whatever it helps, whatever helps you to engage in His Word. So as we begin 2013, can I encourage you to make God's Word a part of your daily routine this year? Let's move on to verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humankind. Number 2 determination for 2013 is to be characterized by love and by faithfulness. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Now, there's 2 statements there, to bind them and to write them. Really interesting statements. And what I believe it is stressing is that these 2 characteristics must become embedded into our nature, so part of our character that they simply flow out of us, love and faithfulness. And it's interesting, to bind around your neck actually reminds me of, you know, there's maybe you here this morning, you have a necklace around your neck that is a special necklace. And it's a necklace that actually reminds you of maybe someone special or maybe a special occasion or special, something special that's happened in your life. The other thing that kind of comes to mind when I read these 2 chapters is the whole tie a little string around your finger. Can you see that little picture there of the lady? To tie a string around your finger. And at one time, it was a literal method of reminding oneself to do something. Much like you would today, you might set an alarm on your smartphone or set a reminder on your computer. You might leave a sticky note right in the middle of your computer screen. Who does that? Lots of sticky notes around. And but the interesting thing is that, you know, that kind of string on the finger was a thing, a literal thing that was done many, many years ago. But we have different methods of reminding ourselves now of a task that we need to perform. The other thing that I've really noticed, interestingly enough, is that, and I wonder whether you have too, these kind of signs that are popping up everywhere. You know, you see them in the shops. You see them around, especially around Christmas time, you'd see all those words, love, joy, peace. Now, this is a sign that our family purchased because we actually want to start being focused more on some of these things that really matter. And that one down the bottom, love deeply, is a core value of our family. And I really love signs. I actually try to collect signs. If you go to my shed at home, I've got all these signs that I've used on my wall and just love signs. And it's great because when I wake up in the morning and I'm grumpy, I bump into this sign And I see that bottom one there, love deeply. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't make any difference. But it reminds me once again, hey, these are the things that we're on about as a family. And I'm pretty sure that this verse, these verses that we've just looked at, are not literal verses, you know. They're not literal verses because it's very, very difficult to write something on the tablet of your heart. But what I'm kind of thinking about here is that it's almost like we need to ask the Spirit of God to get this love, to get this faithfulness, and brand it on our hearts. And you know what? When you're branded by something, I remember my wife, when she was a bit younger, she went for a ride on a motorbike, and she leant up against a really hot exhaust. And for about a year or so, and I'm pretty sure you can still see it faintly, is that she had Yamaha branded into her leg. And, you know, branding is something that doesn't go away real easy. It never leaves you. So how do we brand ourselves with this, with these two words? How do we brand ourselves with love and with faithfulness? Well, the first thing that I want to encourage us to do is to simply ask the Spirit of God to brand our hearts with love and faithfulness, with these two characteristics. I'm wondering whether we could do that right now. You pray with me. Holy Spirit, these two things, love and faithfulness, it's good to literally write them somewhere so that they're a reminder, but we need more, Lord. We need your Spirit to brand these two amazing characteristics, these two characteristics that are from you. We need you to brand them into our hearts, so that they are there, and they are there permanently. In Jesus' name, amen. The second thing that I want to encourage you to do after the Spirit's been at work is to get yourself a sign. Do something literal that will help you and remind you that this year is a year of love and a year of faithfulness. Maybe grab a necklace, who knows, as you feel led. And then simply, we need to do it, don't we? Simply, we need to live a life of love and a life of faithfulness. Who are the people in your life, 2013, who are the people that we need to love? Who are the people that you're going to go out of your way this year to love and love unconditionally? We need to be faithful to God. We need to be faithful to our family, and to our friends. And then lastly, a couple of months ago, I heard this really cool story about a church that decided that this year, I think it was like a couple of years ago, but this year was going to be, for them, the year of saying yes. Okay? Now, what did that mean? Well, what it meant for one guy in that church is that he actually bought some roller shutters that he didn't really need. But what it wasn't about buying things. It was actually about saying yes to the invitations of your neighbours, yes to the invitations of your maybe some of your friends that you don't really hang out much with, but yes, just simply saying yes. Yes to helping people, yes to giving people money. And I don't know about you, but when people come up to me and they're complete strangers and they ask for money, I kind of think, man, why don't you get a job? I know that's really harsh. But this year for me, I want it to be a year of, hey, I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm not going to make any judgments. I'm just going to say yes, and I'm going to give them some money, and hopefully that'll encourage them, and that'll hopefully display to them some of God's love. And you know, there's another really great motivation for this, for living a life of love and living a life of faithfulness. And it's that we will win respect and favor from God and from man. Another fantastic promise. Let's move on to verse 5. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Number 3 determination for 2013 is simply this. Be fully trusting in God. Be fully trusting in God. The call here is for a trust that is characterized by total commitment. You read there in verse 5, it says, with all your heart. And in verse 6, in all your ways, submit. What these beautiful expressions call for us is absolute obedience and surrender in every realm of our life. And again, there is a promise or a reward. And that promise is that when obedient faith is present, the Lord will be with us and the Lord will guide us along life's path in spite of difficulties and in spite of hindrances. And the idea of straight again isn't this sort of concept of, you know, I'm going to live a straight life, that means that I'm going to be perfect, everything's going to be great. But rather it is a contrast to the crooked and perverse ways that those who do their own thing live. So how do we trust in God as we begin a new year? How do we trust God? Well, I think the biggest demonstration of dependence and trust in God is one's own prayer life. What will your prayer life look like in 2013? Maybe it's time to pray. Maybe it's time to give community prayer a go. Maybe I need to pray with some people. Maybe I need to pray with somebody today. And if praying is a challenge for you, you know, just recently we did that survey asking you about service times and asking you about community prayer, and there were some very interesting responses there about, you know, just don't feel comfortable with praying out loud. I don't feel comfortable praying with other people. And I, basically what that tells me is that prayer for us is a challenge. And I want to encourage you that if prayer is a challenge, that there are some resources out there. I've come across this cool little website called Sacred Space. And if you Google Sacred Space, you'll come across this website. And I've shared this with a number of you already. It's put together by the Irish Jesuits in Dublin. And it's a fantastic website that just leads you through a prayer for the day and some scripture. And so you read the prayer, you sit, you reflect, you meditate, and then you click the button and then you move on to the next thing, a different thought. And then some scripture, and it's just been, it's just revolutionized my prayer life, my daily prayer life. And maybe it might help you as well. The other thing is, have you ever heard of the Book of Common Prayers? You know, and you might think, and a book full of other people's prayers, that's not really praying, is it? Well, for someone like me who struggles to pray, to be able to read through those prayers in that book has been, again, something that's been really encouraging for me and my prayer life. And maybe you're fantastic at praying, and that's great. The encouragement today is that we would be fully trusting in God this year. So church, as we begin a new year, my prayer is that you would at least just take one or some of or all of these determinations into 2013. The determination to be in God's word, to be characterized by love and by faithfulness, and to be fully trusting in Him. I just want to give you a few moments now, a couple of minutes, just to reflect on what we've looked at today, and just allow the Spirit of God just to center in on you right now, and just He may say something to you that could be really important. So let's just spend a few moments reflecting. Today's message isn't a message to get you to do more. This message is a message to encourage you to be. to be the men and the women that God has called us to be in 2013. Let's begin, and not just begin, but go into 2013 with the knowledge and the determination that God has called us to be in His Word. He's called us to be characterized by love and by faithfulness, and He's called us to be trusting fully in Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the opportunity to reflect on this year's events and to also look forward to the new year that is about to begin. May 2013 be a year that we are determined to know You more, to be more like You, and trust You with everything, with our everything. Lord, we submit our year to You, and we look forward to what You